Hey, friends, and welcome to another episode of Pro Ecclesia. I'm your host, Jack Bodenhammer. Today, we visit with Valentin Sini, president of the Tversky Christian Institute in Ukraine. You'll hear his story of leading this Christian Institute through a Russian invasion and the continued struggles of their work. You'll hear it through his voice, but also in the voice of his translator, Sergei. And at the end, we come to a place in which we ask the question how we might help. You'll find a link in the description of the podcast as well as our social media if you care to help Tversky Christian Institute in this moment through these troubles. You have an opportunity to give through them in that way. Or you can Google Tversky Christian Institute, Breeze Church Management, and see the link there to help them through restoration and continue to offer Christian education in these difficult moments. Would you consider doing that after you listen? Hi, and welcome to another episode of Pro Ecclesia. Today, we have a very special guest, Valentin Sini, who is the president of the Tversky Christian Institute in Ukraine. Valentin, we're so glad that you can join us today.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to me.
So Valentin and I met through a Truett student, Zusha, who has been earning her degree here at Truett Theological Seminary, Ukrainian, and she came to Texas, to Truett, right before the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And so her family was in Ukraine. This is her homeland. And we have talked and prayed with her through now years. And her experience, and she really has opened up some of our eyes to the experience of Ukraine. And we were, Valentin, we got to meet through that, and just what a wonderful conversation that was that we had. And so I just wanted to have this opportunity. I'm so glad you're here to have this opportunity to visit about what you've experienced leading a Christian Institute in Ukraine and kind of what God is doing and where not only where people are suffering, but also the hope that is there. So tell us, start us out by just tell us your experience at the Tversky Christian Institute, TCI, and what happened there as the Russians invaded.
Thank you for inviting me to this podcast. Maybe I'm time to time invite my friend Sergei, who helped me in translation, because sometimes I need someone help me. If talk about this war, especially in the beginning of this second part of a big Russian invasion, for us it's a big challenge, because Kherson, located nearby Crimea, its first city in our country, was occupied after Russians started this big war. And because this, for our staff and for our students, it's a big challenge, because TCI must relocate, take all students, all professors, maybe not all, but a big number, and relocate in western part of our country. And a couple of weeks later, after Russian occupied Kherson, Russian occupied our property. In our property, five big buildings, and Russian start used our property like Сергей, как сказать, как место для солдат.
They turned the campus into a boot camp.
Yeah. And
pause here. When you say occupied, you mean they came in, kicked y'all out, and said, this is ours now.
Yes, correct. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Start used, put used for hospital, military hospital, with gun, with all stuff. And our neighbors say Russians put in our camp crematorium and burn a body of Russian soldiers who die in war. And this
Wow.
is crazy. This is crazy. I remember after Russians go out from Kherson and Kherson was liberated, I visit our campus and I'm seeing one room really blood pitno.
Like a big spot of blood on the floor.
It's crazy. And in this war, our campus was destroyed completely, five buildings. And our library was 30,000 books. Russian fire our library, steal all equipment in class, like projector, TV, this special screen to work, everything, pads, everything. Still put to Crimea, and for us it's a really big challenge. Our professor and our student and our staff after this war start change profession, change job, and start help our community in evacuation project, in humanitarian project, send medicine to people who in occupation. It's changed a lot our life.
Yeah, that's I would imagine very shocking to see classrooms and places of learning turn into a place where soldiers are being trained, bodies are being burned, blood on the floor. That had to have been devastating, shocking. How did you deal with those sort of experiences?
Maybe I will be talk in Ukrainian and Sergey help me. Когда ты видишь зло, которое происходит от неверующих людей, ты как-то проще к этому относишься. Это все шокирует, это убивает тебя.
Of course, this all is shocking, but when you see non-believers doing that, you kind of expect that.
Но когда ты видишь со стороны верующих, как они поддерживают это зло, это от тебя ранит еще больше.
Yeah, but when you see the Russian believers supporting this, that is actually even worse. This is hurting you much more.
Мы христиане как какой-то такой крепкий алмаз, который не сильно воспринимает боль и зло от неверующих людей. Но как раз алмаз режет алмаз. И когда мы чувствуем вот эту боль, греха, аморальности со стороны верующих, это нас надрезает.
I would like to use this metaphor of a diamond. You know, we are Christians, we're diamond. When we talk about some attacks that come from non-believers, we're pretty hard and resistant. But when another diamond, another believer is hurting us, you know, this is how you shape diamonds. You use another diamond because it's an only material that can change. It's so when we see the other believers doing that for us, when they support what the Russian soldiers are doing, this is really hurting us.
И для меня очень печально было, что русские уничтожили всю нашу территорию, разворовали, сожгли и уничтожили здания. Но некоторые истории для меня были более тяжелые.
It was very sad to see what Russians did to our property, how it was destroyed, how it was looted. You know, valuables were taken and things burned. But there were some other things that hurt me even more.
После освобождения Херсона мне передали Библию, которая была у меня в кабинете.
When Kherson was liberated, I received a Bible from my office back.
Из моего кабинета не осталось ничего, все было взорвано, уничтожено, разрушено.
So all my office was completely destroyed, the building was destroyed, everything inside was destroyed, but I received that Bible from my office.
І коли я спросив у сторожа, который передав мені Біблію, я говорю, а як ця Біблія сохранилась? Він мені розказав таку історію.
And it was pretty interesting story how that Bible made it back to me. I talked with one of the people, a guard who was still in the area, and I asked him, how did you manage to get it out of my office?
І він говорить, ну, на нашій території був один євангельський християнин, який прийшов воювати в Україну волонтером.
Actually, he said, I received it from one of the Russian soldiers who decided to join Russian army voluntarily just to make some money, and I received that Bible from him.
І він євангельський християнин. And this
And
gentleman.
we talk that this person is not like Orthodox Christian. He is an evangelical believer.
Wow.
И в течение рабочего дня он выполнял свою работу как военный, грабил наших украинцев, а вечерами взял эту Библию, украл из моего кабинета и читал Библию для наших охранников, чтобы им рассказывать о Христе.
So at the daytime, he was with all these Russian soldiers robbing our city, and in the evening time, he came to my office and took that Bible, and he was trying to evangelize the people in the neighboring area.
И мне это стало просто очень больно, когда ты видишь, что другой христианин приходит, чтобы, ну, причинить боль другому христианину.
So this story hurt me the most when you see that the person who claims he is a believer is using this terrible methods, and just kind of justifies his crime.
Wow.
Мне это напомнило историю со Второй мировой войны, когда немцы перегоняли плененных евреев в концлагерь, и евреи иногда просили о помощи, и просто церкви начинали громче петь, чтобы не слышать крики помощи.
And sadly, we have, some stories from the history like that when from the World War II, we know the stories in this part of the country that when some of the Jewish people were sent to concentration camps and they were shouting and crying and asking for help, in some churches, people would just close the windows and start singing louder so they would not hear this cry of those Jewish people.
Да, поэтому для меня война, которая сейчас идет со стороны России против Украины, это война, которая связана не с землей. Потому что в России очень много земли, это связано с богословием и мировоззрением.
And I think this war is not really about the land because Russia has the most land in this world, but it's a spiritual warfare and it's a theological war.
Yeah. Wow, what a, yeah, it's hard to articulate just that experience of layering of loss, right? Like there, I've seen pictures of your campus. I've seen what it was, and knowing, you know, what it means to serve in a place of higher education, a place of Christian higher education, to know and then to watch it be destroyed. But then also to have these stories like you just mentioned that there's more going on here than the destruction of property, that there's you know, not just even life loss, but there is a lack of humanity, it sounds like, in the face of suffering, and often even cloaked maybe in some of the worst parts of people who claim faith, right? That, and that's, like you said, that seems to be a much a larger challenge. So as this is happening, and you said, you know, people are changing jobs, they're no longer teaching, but they're now providing humanitarian aid or seeking out how to help people. Talk more about that shift and how that has been lived out through you and those around you.
Thank you for this question. I think the biggest move, or maybe the biggest changes in our society in these 2 years of war, first, it's a volunteer movement, because after this happens, many, many people, religious and not religious, Christians or evangelical or Orthodox, involved in a volunteer movement, and people more than 2 years help needy people in different way, with medicine, help widows, everyone. And this has changed our society or our community a lot, because communistic mentality won't destroy the relation between people. And now many, many people help one another, and especially people from churches. This is maybe the biggest changes what happens. It's volunteer movement. And you talk about a volunteer movement, its influence to church, and church change couple area of mentality. First, church open, okay, I need interpreter again. Церковь стала больше открыта для общества, как никогда раньше.
These days, church became the most open to the communities, to secular people. I don't think we ever had the time when church was more open than now.
Церкви открывали свои помещения, чтобы переселенцы просто останавливались, ночевали. Церкви открывали свои столовые, чтобы переселенцы могли кушать там.
The churches have opened their doors and welcomed people. They let them stay there and be housed for some time. They opened their cafeterias to feed people there.
И мы видим, что открытость церкви к обществу изменила также понимание церковью миссии Бога.
And all that brought church to a major shift of understanding of the mission of God.
До войны наша церковь украинская, евангельская, в основном понимала миссию Бога сотериологически.
Because before the war, mostly the understanding of Ukrainian church of its mission was in the soteriological field.
То есть церковь понимала, что наша роль на земле для того, чтобы помочь людям получить спасение от вечного наказания.
They were just seeing themselves as those who are helping people to escape the internal suffering and be saved.
Да. И основной, скажем так, фундамент миссии был великое поручение.
And the Great Commission was the main foundation of its missional activities.
Сегодня церковь понимает и выполняет миссию через проявление Великой Заповеди, то есть любить ближнего.
However, now the church sees that it's accomplishing its mission rather through the Great Command to love your neighbor.
Вот. И, наверное, еще очень большое изменение, которое произошло внутри нашего народа, это переосмысление миграции.
Another big change that I observe among Ukrainians now is that we have revised our understanding of migration.
С Украины из-за до войны периодически люди эмигрировали в другие страны. И наша украинская церковь не всегда поддерживала отношения с эмигрантами, тех, кто уехали из нашей страны.
Of course, there were Ukrainians who were migrating before the war, However, the church was not really establishing relationships with these people after they were leaving our country.
И сегодня Украинская Церковь просто прилагает большие усилия, чтобы укреплять отношения с теми, кто покинули нашу страну.
But now we see that Ukrainian churches are interested in maintaining the relationship with people who left the country and trying to strengthen them where they are.
Церкви больше проповедуют о богословии миграции, о богословии гостеприимства сегодня.
Churches preach more about the theology of hospitality, the theology of migration.
That's incredible. I think, I mean, if you're a student history, I think we understand when the church is suffering, the church often thrives. It's a lesson probably lost sometimes in the West, if we're being honest about kind of our experience in America, a church in power, particularly still in the Bible Belt in the South. Although that's changing, and I think what Europe has experienced in the loss of Christendom is being experienced in America in certain places. But Texas is just different. You were just in Texas not too long ago. It's a different place, but. I'm sitting here thinking about just the embodiment of Matthew 25 of I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was a stranger and you took me in. It seems that the church in Ukraine has learned to embody those scriptures in ways that maybe they hadn't thought about even before, which, you know, to sit here and realize that that's a wonderful thing, but you hate that it takes that this the circumstances, right? Like it's people are suffering and the hurt is real and in the need. Because and I think one of the things that's important that I'd like for you to talk about even today is sometimes in our kind of fast-paced culture, you know, stories last for 15 minutes and then it's on to the next story, right? And so Ukraine was a particular important conversation piece of the world, but 2 years later it's bylines on news stories and that sort of thing. But so tell me what's going on right now in Ukraine and what has been your experience even here recently?
Ну, просто сегодня даже русские выпустили больше 100 различных ракет по нашей стране. И сегодня был атакован 22 марта самой большой гидроэлектростанция в Украине, в городе Днепр.
The Russians keep sending their missiles, and even today we had a strike that had more than 100 missiles. And specifically, they were also aiming one of the biggest hydropower plants and dam that we have in Ukraine.
Но мое сегодняшнее размышление, оно такого плана, что война в Украине это не первая война, которую мы знаем в истории.
However, as I think about all that, I'm aware that this is not the first and not the last war in the world, sadly.
И когда мы думаем о таком экстремальном зле, как война, мой вопрос. Какие мы выводы можем взять как христиане?
So when we think about such an extreme evil as war, I just ask myself what kind of conclusions we can draw as Christians.
Потому что война это достаточно большой шторм в нашей жизни.
As war is pretty major storm in our life.
И я понимаю, что мы подходим ближе к концу. Я хотел бы просто, я сильно вспомнил сейчас историю о Христе во время шторма.
And when I think about storm, this imagery from the New Testament of Jesus in the storm comes to my mind.
И когда мы читаем историю о великом шторме, где Христос был на лодке и заснул.
And when we read this passage that talks about Jesus been sleeping in the storm, the big
Да.
storm.
То в этой истории мы видим, что используются три выражения очень чего-то большого. И там был очень большой шторм, мегашторм.
And we see that in the original, the words that they use this word great, like mega, several times.
Да, и мы проходим сейчас, как украинцы, через мегашторм. И мы тоже не всегда осознаем, где Бог в этом шторме.
We Ukrainians go through this mega storm right now because of this war, and not everyone is realizing where we are, where is our place now in this storm,
И где Христос в этом шторме?
and where is Jesus in that storm in our life.
Когда я думаю об этом шторме, и когда ученики будили Христа, мне иногда кажется, что они будили его просто как мужчину, потому что не хватало людей, чтобы грести.
So when I think about this story in the Bible, sometimes I think they were just wakening him up because they simply needed an extra pair of hands just to help to deal with this with the storm and just pouring out the water from the boat.
И действительно, когда мы оказываемся в шторме, мы не всегда знаем, вообще Богу есть до нас дело или нету.
And of course, being in the midst of storm, sometimes we are questioning ourselves if God is really caring about us.
В историю, когда мы читаем про шторм, Господь дал тишину. Он обратился к шторму, и появилась мега-тишина.
And we remember from this passage when Jesus addressed the storm, then the great silence came to that place.
Да, прямо
Calm
мега.
down.
Да, мега используется тоже. Вот, вот, но мы, кстати, в нашей жизни не всегда можем после мега шторма увидеть мега тишину. Не всегда так происходит в нашей жизни.
But in our lives, it's sometimes very difficult to see if the mega storm is happening in our life, to see that mega peace or mega comfort.
Вот у учеников, когда они увидели в шторме Христа, у них был мега страх.
And also in this story, we see that the disciples had mega fear of the situation.
Потому что они, когда узнали, что он Бог, они его испугались. Они его испугались Бога.
Because when his divine powers were revealed, they were afraid.
Вот, и мне кажется, когда мы проходим мегаштормы, нам очень важно увидеть великую силу Бога.
So I think when we are in the midst of these great storms, we should also be open to see the mega miracles of God. Mega
Вот.
presence of
And
God.
so where have you seen that? Like I hear that. Where's hope in this mega storm that you guys are enduring? Where do you see these stories of hope?
Ну, я вам скажу честно, что на протяжении первых месяцев ты вообще никакой надежды не видишь. На протяжении первых месяцев войны никакой надежды не видишь.
I want to be fully transparent, honestly. For first few months, you see no hope.
Вот. И в моей истории был такое событие, которое переоценка произошла.
But personally, I had this point when I reevaluated my situation.
Это произошло, мы привезли одну женщину на границу польскую, и она прощалась, она уходила за границу, и мы не знали, увидим ее или нет.
That happened when once we evacuated one lady from the war area and brought her to the Polish border. And she was saying goodbye to us, and we didn't know if we will ever see her.
Вот, и когда она прошла границу, мы увидели, что на польской стороне к ней подошла женщина и дала стаканчик чая.
So as she crossed the border, I saw that once she got on the Polish side, there was a volunteer lady who approached her and brought her a cup of hot tea.
Вот, мы ей позвонили и спросили, что там произошло.
And then we called this lady that we were evacuating and asked her, if she was okay, if someone was caring about her.
Она сказала, говорит, представляете, женщина с Америки прилетела, чтобы просто раздавать чай. Чай, кофе.
And she said, "Can you imagine an American lady came to Poland to serve hot tea to us? I cannot believe that."
Вот. И я вспомнил сразу же, моментально вспомнил две истории, две цитаты.
And at the same moment, I immediately remembered two stories, two quotes.
История Есфирь, когда в истории в книге Есфирь мы не видим присутствия Бога, мы видим только руки Есфирь и Мардохея.
First comes from the book of Esther. And interestingly, in the book of Esther, there is no mention of God. You
Right.
can see the things that were happening to Esther and the things that were happening with Mordecai.
Вот. И второе, я вспомнил фразу Мартина Лютера, когда он говорил, когда мы молимся о том, чтобы Бог дал нам хлеб насущный, очень часто булочница, которая делает хлеб, она является пальцами Бога на земле, которые дают нам хлеб.
And another quote was from the Martin Luther, who said that when we pray about the daily bread, it's very often just this baker that lives next street who provides this bread to us, and his or her hand are the hands of God.
Я понял, что во время войны самую большую надежду, которую я видел в Боге, она была через других верующих людей, которые меня поддерживали и поддерживали моих братьев и сестер
So
украинцев.
during this war, the biggest hope that I observed was coming from other brothers and sisters.
Вот их поддержка, их молитвы, они меняли мою жизнь, они давали надежду жить.
Their care, their support, their prayers were encouraging me and were giving me the strength to live.
That's incredible. Yeah, it is. That's an incredible story of who would think hot tea could be such a blessing, and yet in the moment, it is. It's the very presence of God for that person, and that's an incredible, incredible hope. So, what might you? What, how, if my listeners, if our listeners are thinking about, okay. This is an incredible story of perseverance, of the work of God in the people of God, in the people of Ukraine. How can we help? What can we do to help Valentin? What can we do to help TCI? Where can we be a part of being messengers or conduits of hope in this situation?
We talk with representative of Baylor's University and with your seminary about this in my trip. And our idea was this. Our student lose all library. Our student lose 30,000 theological book. And if maybe some student from United States, from Baylor's, and the same conversation I have with people from Dallas Baptist University, if some student want to buy one student for student from Ukraine, because our student didn't have books now, this may be a really great project to help student in Ukraine who didn't have books now to have tools to study and understand God in this time of suffering, in this time of crazy situation. And this is maybe a small project, but this project can change situation with people your age who study in same type of education institution.
Yeah, we had this conversation. I'm so glad you brought this up. And I think it's hard to imagine. And I, again, you had pictures of the books that were burned, that for no other reason but to destroy the work that y'all were doing and the work of God. But it is something that I think our community can really rally around. And so are those books, do you need those? How do we do this? We're working as a partner, obviously. Do you need books in Ukrainian? Do you need books in English and Russian? Where do we think about the best way to serve?
Yes, good questions. Now TCI work with one university from Illinois and with a couple more organization about relocate some big number of English book to Ukraine, but our student mostly preferred Ukrainians books. And you've talked about not expensive, but usual books, it can be cost around $10. And if maybe people can give some money, maybe for, I don't know how it's made better, maybe for your seminary, and you collect some fund for help our student buy Ukrainians book, it will be very, very important because it looks like our school can have some English books, but now it's big challenge by Ukrainians book.
Yeah. Friends that are listening and want to help, know that Baylor and Truett have committed both to helping Valentin and TCI, and we're developing avenues and pathways to do exactly that. And so stay tuned to just how best we can do this, because I think we're still figuring this piece out. And there's more help to be offered, I think, as we dream about partnership and connection with our brothers and sisters, halfway across the globe. But really, I think has opened our eyes, I think, and having someone in our midst has been something that's been really formative for us, and just so grateful for the opportunities to visit today. And any kind of parting words that you might have as we close out our conversation here, Valentin?
Сергей, а что последнее? Они.
Он говорит, им какие-то последние слова заключительные.
No, thank you very much. I think it's a really good time, and I'm happy to be in your podcast, and thank you very much.
Yeah, we're so grateful. Grateful for you and the work that you've done. Grateful for your willingness. I think about Paul's collection for those that were hungry, and leaning on the church at large to help those who are in need. I think the more things change, the more they stay the same. This is how the church can lift each other up, thousands of miles apart, but we're still the church, and joined by this faith in Jesus Christ that can really hopefully uplift the work that you're doing, because I know what you have poured in to us here in Texas has been more than forming and shaping of our faith, of our walk with Jesus. And that I'm grateful for your words and your message and your kindness to be with us, not only in person but now in podcasts. And look forward to seeing how we can partner together in ministry moving forward. So thanks again. Thanks to Sergei for being our translator. You've been a great help today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.